When I was an undergraduate, a literature student at a Jesuit liberal arts college, I took the required Old Testament course from a rabbi. I thought that very progressive of the SJs at that time. It was in this class that the rabbi told us that scripture is a combination of literature and history, as well as a way for the Hebrew people to frame their story and their relationship with God. This was accomplished at points by way of using similar story themes that were culturally noted at the time, with the exception that the Hebrew scripture was grounded in spirit voice. We also know scripture to be full of devices used quite purposefully to lead the reader to the author's point of view, or inspire the reader to ask questions, make examination, and reread. Robert Frost, when asked if writers really do this, the purposeful crafting, was said to have responded, "Not only do they revel in it." Our gospel reader, John, was no exception, and neither were the writers of our lectionary. And we will consider last week's gospel and this week's gospel reading in comparison. John meant to have these two stories nearly side by side, with a brief piece about John the Baptist between, but we will leave that aside for today. Jesus' ministry, and it is argued among scholars, it is said to have lasted somewhere between 1 and 4 years. Now, if you were a reporter and followed Jesus around and wrote down everything he said for even a year, you would have many more words than our Gospels contain. Not that our Gospel stories are meant to be reporting, but just to give you a sense of the volume. So how did they decide? Well, with filter and lens. What lens is John, the author of both last week and this week's reading, asking us to look through? What lens are we being asked to view Jesus' message? We know that they weren't capturing everything, so how did they decide? These were questions I pondered as I prepared to listen to what the Spirit voice had to say to me. Today we meet Jesus and the woman at the well. By this we know two things. John indicates the woman has no name. She's anonymous. Many of the people Jesus encounters, people he healed, freed, redeemed, are not named. In my mind, this points to the name being insignificant. Instead of the story pointing to a person, the story points to every person. Second, John is working here to invoke a sense of the Hebrew tradition, as the well is Jacob's well, a well mentioned only in John's gospel, a well that is a metaphor that connects the readers of John's time and our time, not only to the setting of tradition, but to last week's reading. So hold this thought. We read that Jesus goes out of his way to go to Samaria, this community of mixed race individuals. John writes that Jesus had to go through Samaria, even though it was not geographically necessary to do so. In this, we have a sense of direction, purpose, and call. He sits to rest in the noonday sun and encounters the woman, and he speaks to her. In doing so, Jesus broke 3 Jewish customs. He spoke to her. She was significant enough for him to stop to do so. 2, she was a Samaritan. Speaking with her was designating an effort to step outside the barrier between 2 cultures, a divide that was long-standing. Samaritans were considered, after all, to be a mixed-race community. Taking a drink from her cup would have been ceremonially unclean. John's message is always one of resistance, and John has little patience with those who take a safe course. Jesus is way out of the way of the same course as he journeys to Samaria. He calls his readers to do the same. Just as Jesus approaches the well, we see how he is literally at cross-culture. The well, representing the Hebrew tradition, facing a mixed-race woman with whom Jesus encounters breaks the law and breaks the tradition. Let's compare our 2 stories, Jesus and his encounter with Nicodemus and Jesus and his encounter with the woman. First, the characters. We have Nicodemus. He's male. He's Jewish, religious, part of the establishment. He has a name. He's a Pharisee. He's upright, a member of the upper class, and he's serious and dignified. The woman is a woman, female, enemy of the people, as she's from a mixed race. She's unnamed. She's foreign. She's poor, flippant, and sinful. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. And by the way, I think Nicodemus does get a bad rap in that, implied that he came because he did have a previous encounter with Jesus at some point before, and his spirit being stirred felt compelled to seek him out, even under the cloak of night. But this was last week's, and we know that Nicodemus could not grasp that salvation, would not come through the law, and he could not grasp Jesus' message because he could not hold the spiritual and physical worlds together. This week, we can take a new look with our new lens. There is a great irony in the image of the well and its representation of the Hebrew tradition. While simultaneously, Jesus upends that tradition by speaking with and engaging with the least. The woman was the least because she had multiple husbands. Do we consider, from our point of view, that she was a fallen woman? Why would we assume this? Any more than we would ask, what was she wearing, when we hear about a rape case? Maybe she had multiple husbands because she could not bear children, and thus men could, by law, divorce her. Maybe she was married to multiple brothers. We don't know for sure. None of this concerns Jesus in the least. While I imagine the rest of the disciples would have had plenty to say about it if he had allowed them to, he still unmasks her. The conversation about the husband shows two points. First, Jesus knows. And the second, the woman's faith is illustrated as she announces Jesus as prophet. The woman is unafraid to have a conversation with Jesus in the height of the day, unlike our friend Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus under the cover of night. Jesus does not have to say to Nicodemus that he was the Messiah. He could have, but he didn't. Nicodemus, for all his learning and position, shows less faith than the marginalized, unclean woman. Maybe Nicodemus and the other Jews were looking for a political Messiah. The woman representing Samaria was not. Jesus leads her to an act of faith, and the woman then bears witness and stands to testify to the same community that shunned her. And Jesus says to teach, yet again, breaking the boundaries by being welcomed by the Samaritan community, where in contrast to the Jewish community, where he was disregarded, not unlike the Samaritan woman herself. We are always looking, I hope, to be in relationship with Jesus. When are we Nicodemus? Coming to Jesus under the veil of night when no one else is watching? Are we so caught up in things as, quote, how they used to be, how they ought to be done, how they've always been done, to understand the message that Jesus tries to communicate to us? Are we as persistent as Nicodemus in our curiosity, in our ability to listen to the Spirit voice, that we continue to seek Jesus out even if we don't understand? And when we are the woman who has nothing to lose, sets herself free, who recognizes, knows, and receives Jesus, and then bears witness to this. Are we at the point in our lives when things are so rough for us that we are able to do this? Must we be? If we really want to know the truth about worship, we will find it not in the formula of our fathers, but in the relation of our own hearts with God. We must deal with him through his Spirit on the basis of truth, which may preclude the kind of life we are living now.